So I've called this morning, Trusting God When Everything Seems Impossible. And we've already heard a little bit of that through the words that have come out. So, if I said to you, what do the following things have in common? A doctor's office, grocery shopping, connecting flights, a red light. Anybody guess? Waiting. Well done. And that's what we're going to explore together today. So I would imagine that there's not very many of us that actually like to be kept waiting. And as a child, I can always remember the word I hated the most was no, and the second word was wait. How many times did your parents say to you, wait, you can open your present after you get back from school? Or, wait, you have to have your dinner first before you can have your chocolate? Or, wait, you must play with that outside, not in the house? Or, wait, I'm busy. We all hated waiting when we were children. But we still say that to our children today, don't we? We always say, wait for one thing or another. It seems like the whole of life is about waiting. You have to wait until you're 17 before you can drive a car. You wait for the right person to come along to share your life with. You wait for that first promotion, your first home. You wait for your husbands to fix something. Yeah. Or you wait for your wives to get ready. You wait for your baby to be born. But what about our attitude to waiting? Are we always content? Say you're waiting to meet somebody for lunch, and then they message you to say, I'm really sorry, I'm going to be late. Now, on a day like this, when the weather's really, really nice and it possibly is warm, you don't mind. You can wait in the sunshine, you can close your eyes, you can take in whatever's around you, and you're quite happy to wait. But what if the clouds roll in and the weather turns? You end up feeling miserable because you're wet and you're still waiting. You very soon become fed up. In a society where time is quite often a more valuable currency than money, being kept waiting often feels like we're being robbed of something we can't get back. I mean, how do you handle it when you go to a supermarket just to pick up a couple of things and you join the first queue and then you realise that that queue is going a heck of a lot slower than some of the others? How do you feel? Especially when you get to the end of the queue and you find that the person on the till is wearing a badge that says in training. So you realise then why it's slow. But we do hate to wait, don't we? What about when traffic gets backed up and you're stuck behind it? Or what about, especially at the moment, when there's lots of construction work on your local roads? How do you feel about having to wait or having to divert? Or you get frustrated, don't you? You get impatient. And sometimes we perhaps should feel a little bit more compassionate about other people that are in the same situation, or maybe the people that have caused that situation. Let me tell you a story. There was once a man who was visiting a local shop with his wife, and they went into this big department store and picked up a piece of luggage and a cool box, one of those big cool boxes that you take on picnics. And he was dragging these around behind him, following his wife round the shop. And they ended up in the shoe department. So he sat down with his luggage and his cool box. And the shop assistant came across and said, "Do you need any help?" And he said, "No, I'm just waiting for my wife." And then a man behind him said, "I'm waiting for my wife too, but I never thought about bringing lunch and an overnight bag with me." Okay, we can laugh at that scenario, but waiting in real life isn't always about a positive expectation or change. Sometimes waiting is hard, even painful. Like when you're waiting for a loved one to go through major surgery, waiting for test results, waiting for your company to decide who is going to be made redundant in your team, waiting for your children to find God. The truth is, most of us are always waiting for something. And sometimes we don't even know how to deal with that. We have no choice but to just wait for the outcome. There is a book called Character Forged from Conflict that was written by a man called Gary Preston. And in it, he illustrates how we are to wait. So he writes this. "Back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication, there was a story about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed, and when he arrived, he entered a large, noisy office. After a few minutes, this young man stood up from his seat, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, opened the door, and walked in. Now, all the other applicants that were sat there perked up and thought, well, what's happening? Why has this man been so bold as to just walk in without having been asked to enter? They assumed that he would be disqualified for taking liberties. Well, within a few minutes, the young man reappeared, escorted by the interviewer, who announced, 'Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man.' The others began grumbling amongst themselves. And then one said, 'Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last man to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job.' The employer responded, 'All the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, so the job is his.' Now, the young man got the job not because he was just waiting, all of the other men were just waiting, but because he was waiting expectantly. Hebrews 6, verse 15 says, 'And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised.' It was 25 years from the time that God had promised Abraham a son to Isaac's birth. Yet he never lost hope that God would fulfill his promise to him. He waited expectantly. God's promises are unchanging and trustworthy because God is unchanging and trustworthy. And because God is true, you can believe in his promises. You don't need to wonder if he'll change his mind, because God is unchanging. Sometimes we want our spiritual lives to have instant answers, because that's what happens in society. In our daily lives, we have instant pain relievers, instant messaging, instant coffee. It's no surprise then when we wonder why we don't have instant answers to prayer, instant healing, instant victory. Why doesn't God do what I want right now? We expect instant results, and yet waiting is a gift from God that forms our souls. If we step back, we recognize that getting everything we want, whenever we want it, produces spoiled, self-centered people. Selfish people who believe they are the center of the universe. And you know, that's not what God wants for us. In fact, he wants the very opposite. And so we wait. And sometimes he asks us to wait a long time, just like Abraham did. Now, there was a survey done asking people what they dislike waiting for. And I've got the top 10 results here. So what I'd like you to do is just to think about the one thing that really irritates you the most, that you really do not like waiting for, and then we'll see where it fits in the top 10. Okay? Everybody got something? Number 10, waiting for food in a restaurant because the waiter messed up your order. Was that you? Number 9, having to deal with TV adverts in the middle of programs. Number 8, held up in traffic with no alternative route. Yeah. Number 7, waiting in motorway traffic because of congestion or traffic accidents. They're probably quite similar, actually, those two. This one, I detest myself. Waiting for a shop employee to finish a personal conversation so they can serve you. Number 5, waiting at long, long traffic lights that never seem to change. Number 4, waiting for a meeting because others before you have not been prompt. It's an interesting one. Number 3, waiting to speak to a live person when calling a company. I think we can all resonate with that one. Number 2, waiting in a doctor's office, dentist or emergency room. And the top one, you'll be not surprised to hear, is waiting in slow queues in supermarkets. So I'm sure we can all relate to at least one, if not quite a few of those. And I'm also sure that our attitude to these situations is not always positive or patient. Sometimes we get tired of waiting for God's promises to come to pass, or we get confused about how it's going to work. So let's go back to our story of Abraham. Abraham's faith was strong, but it was tested by the long waiting, the 25 years of waiting before Isaac was born. The promise was repeated to him again and again. We find that in the scriptures. But the fulfillment was delayed for 25 long years. Both both Abraham and Sarah still thought that because they were old in years, it was impossible for them to have a child naturally. They were just thinking in earthly ways. And then they started thinking culturally, as Sarah seems to have lost faith altogether when she gave her servant Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. She was frustrated at the lack of a child, and in a moment of doubt, took matters into her own hands to help God. Sarah's trouble was that she couldn't wait, so she thought she'd help God out. There is a story of a little girl who went outside to play, and she was outside for quite some time. And when she eventually came back in, her mum said to her, "Where have you been?" She said, "I've been in the garden." "Oh, what have you been doing?" "I've been helping God." And she went on to explain that she'd found a rose in the garden that had almost blossomed. So she helped it along by peeling the bud to help it blossom. But what she actually did was ruin the rose. If we try in the same way to help God by trying to hasten the results for what we're waiting for, we may only spoil the end result. We must trust and wait, as difficult as it may seem at times, for God's time is always the right time. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." There's a difference between waiting and waiting with patience. When you just wait, some people put their minds in neutral, like you would a car, and just idle until the light is green. But when you wait with patience, there's an air of anticipation that keeps you alert and ready for opportunities that arise. What if Naaman had only dipped in the Jordan 6 times instead of 7? What if Elijah had only prayed for rain 6 times instead of 7? What if the Israelites had only walked around Jericho 6 times instead of 7? They were all obedient in what God instructed them to do, but what would have happened if they fell short of that total obedience to God? They would have forfeited the miracle because they would have given up too soon. And they would have missed out on the growth that God had for them. If we keep seeking and keep believing and keep waiting, we will see those miracles that God has for us. There are things in my life that I'm still waiting for. Sometimes it's hard, and I don't always understand the reasons for being asked to wait. I don't always manage it, but I do try to wait expectantly and with patience, because I have seen his miracles in the past. And sometimes I have to remember those past miracles in order to wait expectantly for those that I'm still waiting for. I wait because I know God will answer those that I'm still waiting for in his time. Now, Abraham and Sarah laughed at the promise of a child because it seemed impossible to them. But God wasn't asking them to make it happen. He was asking them to believe that he could make it happen. Our faith is not a magic formula that makes God act. It's a humble acknowledgement that God can do what we can't do. Now, there are many Bible verses that encourage waiting on God, but I just want to give you one because this is one that I go to time and time again, and it's found in Micah 7, verse 7. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Saviour. My God will hear me. Abraham and Sarah were ordinary people, just like us. They had their doubts, their fears, and their moments of weakness. Yet they chose to believe in the impossible. They chose to trust a God who could turn their impossibilities into reality. And their faith was rewarded with the birth of Isaac, a child of promise, a child of miracle. Let's trust in God's promises, believe in the impossible, and hold on to faith, even when it seems that we're facing insurmountable odds. Let's believe with God that nothing is too hard for him. So in conclusion, maybe you're waiting for an answer and it's proving more difficult than you thought. Whatever you're going through, I just want to leave you with the words of a song that we've often sung that encourages us to wait for God's answer with our hands held high. And I would encourage you to reach out to God afresh today, expectantly, patiently, and trusting that he will answer you, just as he did for Abraham. Hold on to the words that God gives you, the promises he makes with you. Yes, the waiting is hard, but the promises of God are sure and unchanging. So Martin Smith wrote these words: if faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. You're everything you've promised. Your faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. It's you we adore, singing Alleluia. Amen.